This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. 12 by 12, 12 artists from the 12th state. It's an art exhibit that brings together creators from different backgrounds and practices with one thing in common, North Carolina. The exhibition is at the Southeastern Center for Contemporary Art, or SECA, in Winston-Salem. Visitors will see sculptures, photos, prints, and multimedia that show off the diversity of contemporary art created in this state. Wendy Earle is curator of contemporary art at SECA, and she joins us now to talk about the exhibit. Welcome, Wendy.
Thank you for having me.
Good to have you. I gave us kind of a rough overview, but what do we see when we walk into this exhibit?
Well, the first thing is you actually hear it before you see it. If you walk into the front door at SECA, you're going to hear a sound piece by the artist Lee Walton. He's playing the piano, the C note, and he's recorded himself playing this on many different pianos in homes of his friends and family. So we have installed this installation in our historic living room of the Haynes Mansion. So you hear these notes of the piano first, and he's just one of the 12 artists. And then you go into our main galleries and you see the rest of them. So it's a very experiential exhibition. You can see a lot of different media. You can hear several different videos. You can watch a video of an AI kitty. So there's a lot for the senses here in this exhibition.
Now, is there a C note? Why the C note? Or should I ask?
he's got a lot of different influences. So he's looking at Philip Glass. He's thinking about conceptual compositions. And I think the C note was just something that appealed to him in particular. And it's so interesting to hear the variations of what's supposed to be the exact same sound.
The artists become pretty interesting in this, where they're from and how they were chosen. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, it's such an interesting collection of artists. So the former curator, Cora Fisher, who actually organized most of this show, I came in at the very end. I actually just started at SECA. She started with over 200 artists from the state of North Carolina, and even getting to that small number, it sounds like a lot, but with the state of North Carolina, there are so many amazing artists working here all across the state. So she selected 12. Each of these artists were then invited to do a solo exhibition in one of our smaller spaces, and then they gave several lectures, artist talks over the course of these which started 2 years ago. And then this 12 by 12, the group show, is the culmination of that. So we get to see these very different artists sort of interacting with each other in different ways. And it's a really fun experience for the visitor to come in. And especially if you don't know a lot about North Carolina arts, you're going to learn a lot about the art scene. And having come in from Texas myself, I was able to walk into this amazing exhibition that had already been planned and really orient myself to the art scene here.
Well, this project was underway before you got here, but give us a sense of how the artists were judged. In other words, what are you looking for in these North Carolina artists that qualifies them for this particular exhibit?
We wanted, I think, a sense of the variety of the state. So there's more women than men, which is great. There's a lot of diversity racially and then in where they are at their career. So there's some fairly young artists. There's artists who are very well established. So it really runs the gamut. And what they were looking for was, I think, more conceptual, just artists who have a really good understanding of what their work is and how it works in space and having really good ideas. They're exploring a variety of different ideas from feminism to archaeology to technology to race. There's just a lot of different things happening, and that's what they really wanted to show, was that North Carolina art is not just one thing. It's many different things by many different people.
Well, let's bring in one of the artists featured as part of SECA's 12 by 12 exhibit. Endia Beal is the director of the Diggs Gallery in Winston-Salem State University. She's also an associate professor of art there, and her art is on display as part of 12 by 12. Hello, Endia.
Hi.
Tell us a little bit about your work and what's on display at 12 by 12.
So the work on 12 by 12 is a part of a series called Am I What You're Looking For? And it's focusing on young women of color who are transitioning from the academic setting to the corporate space, thinking about their fears and uncertainties of that transition into their career. And so the women are photographed in the home that they grew up in, standing in front of an office backdrop, the same office I actually worked in when I was a grad student at Yale. This is a long story. We'll talk about that later. But while I was a grad student there. And so they're posing, kind of waiting for the interview, waiting for that moment when you're called back. And so I'm curious about what your mind is thinking at that moment, especially as a woman of color in a space where maybe you are the only one.
And is that what got you going? I mean, you were in that. You had that experience.
I did. I had that experience being the only woman, the only person of color in many of the jobs that I had prior to Winston-Salem State. And so my students were experiencing the same type of frustrations and insecurities I had in that space. And so I said, well, how can we develop a conversation through art to create kind of social change or awareness of some of the issues that are happening in corporate America?
It's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting challenge for an artist to represent what I would think, if you're talking about the kind of work and the ideas reflected in Am I What You're Looking For, about repression, about holding back, about not exhibiting certain things, right? I mean, isn't that part of what you're getting at here and one of the themes?
Definitely. So it is about covering and masking. I think sometimes, especially for women and people of color, there are certain cultural aesthetics or cultural backgrounds that have to be hidden because they don't fit into this environment that was really in many ways never designed for them or for us, I should say. And so for these women, it's the opportunity to present their real selves, their authentic selves. If I could wear whatever I wanted to an interview, what would I wear? And can I voice my feelings and frustrations about going into a space and knowing that I'll be judged regardless of how I look.
Where do you find the women to photograph? How did you select your models for this?
Many of them are my students at Winston-Salem State. They would come to my office, not to talk about their classes, but to talk about their experiences with an interview. An employer would say, oh, you know, can you change your hair? Do you normally wear it that way? Or your name is a little too difficult to pronounce. Do you mind changing that? And so I found that my students were experiencing the same kind of discrimination and prejudice that I experienced when I started working in corporate America. And so I said, you know, we can talk about this. We can talk about this on a larger scale. But I'm going to come to your home, the home you grew up in, and I'm going to photograph you there, the place that makes you feel the most comfortable. And I want you to be honest and vulnerable because we need to show the truth.
You know, it's interesting to think about this moment when a student or any applicant, if that's what we're talking about here, is confronted with that, right? But then there's the internalization. So what happens when you get the job and realize it's going to be pretty important to mask this part of me?
Right. And so I think that's the ongoing struggle. The idea of the backdrop is to create the kind of idea of a performance. I think when we go into our job every day, in many ways, we're performing. We're our professional selves. So what does that look like? And so I think for these women, the idea of continuing to perform and to hide and to mask certain aspects of your identity can be troubling in every way imaginable. And so giving these women the freedom as young millennials to talk about those truths on that platform hopefully will create some type of change.
Well, I want to bring in another artist who's featured in 12 by 12. Elizabeth Alexander is an assistant professor at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hello.
Can you tell us about your exhibit or your contribution to 12 by 12?
Yes. So my piece is one installation, and it occupies a 38-foot wall that you see right as you enter down the stairs of the gallery, of the main gallery. And all of my work has this kind of simulated, slightly familiar, slightly dreamlike domestic space quality, you know? So I had to sort of figure out how to make the piece both intimate and match the sort of expansive nature of the space. So it's only about three elements. It's a sort of giant sheet of wallpaper, these panels that I deconstruct and collage back together. And then in front of that is this large armchair that's sort of level with about eye level. So it's really tall. And then below that, just out of reach, is this table of these domestic objects that I cast in paper. So it has this kind of sense of familiarity and almost this alien dreamlike quality as you walk into the space.
What was the impetus of this project for you? What got you going on it?
So it's, my work is very process oriented. So you know, every piece kind of leads to the next. And but the sort of theme of this specific installation is called Crumbs Under My Pillow, which is alludes to a wedding ritual or custom that was established in the 17th century, where single women would be invited to bring wedding cake home and put it under their pillows to dream about their future husbands, any husband. And I found that really absurd. And, you know, weddings and marriage was a lot different in the 17th century, but I feel like our culture has not completely lost this kind of reinforcement for young girls to dream about and fantasize and think about this kind of metamorphic event for yeah. women.
You know, putting cake crumbs under your pillow attracts rats. So in that way, maybe it's effective, but not exactly a dream yeah. come true.
So absurd. And, you know, and kind of thinking about, you know, pining over something and dreaming about yeah. something rather than actually, you know, going out and meeting yeah. people or doing what you have to do. And then also, you know, kind of wanting something in an abstract. So not really thinking about marriage once you're actually in a relationship with someone and actually wanting to be take that next step, but actually just wanting to be a wife or wanting to be a bride and sort of the fantasy that surrounds that. And I did start this piece only a few months after my own wedding and this move to North Carolina from Massachusetts. And so a lot of these ideas are really fresh in my mind. I was thinking about why did I suddenly, you know, want to be, you know, married when I was so kind of critical of it. And I think part of it was that in the abstract, it didn't make any sense to me. But, you know, once I was in a relationship and, you know, had a partner and had the, was, you know, pursuing this partnership, it was a really beautiful thing. So I reference weddings a lot as this kind of idea of, you know, this kind of upward mobility and this promise of upward mobility and this fantasy. And I, you know, I grew up in a kind of working class town and my father's a welder. So I was sort of, you know, working class. And so that idea of you know, marriage sort of being this way to start your life as a young woman instead of, you know, it being just something that's part of your life was always kind of, I always kind of resented that.
Right, right.
You know, I wanted to move forward on my own.
I mean, as a construction that you inherit and don't have much choice in, you can imagine how one might resent it. But then if you take it apart and get to some of the raw elements, there's some nice things going on. So that's yeah. one of the things I think that art can do for us. India, we talked about some of the ideas behind your pieces, but I actually didn't ask you to describe the photos. Maybe you can do that. And I should point out that we have pictures at our website, stateofthings.org. But India, give us a sense of, you know, sort of who we're going to see and their aspiration, who they would be if they weren't asked to mask themselves.
Definitely. So there's an artist named James Van Der Zee, who was an artist of the Harlem Renaissance, and he did these really beautiful portraits of African Americans in his studio in Harlem. And he put up this backdrop that was some villa in Paris, and he asked people to dress accordingly. And so you were no longer in Harlem, you were in Paris, and they kind of transitioned to a different space. So I remixed that idea, and I brought the women to the home they grew up in, and I put the office backdrop behind their living room or their couch. So I asked their parents, let me move your couch. And I put the backdrop up, and the women are standing there. So many of them are giving a sense of confidence. They're wearing usually professional attire, so whatever they would deem professional. And their emotions are very different. So some are insecure. Others are extremely confident. Some seem afraid. Some seem a little sassy. So every portrait, you're going to get a different emotion from the women. Each woman provided a statement based on their perspective of corporate America. So when you come into the space, you'll see the portraits of these women, and then you'll be able to hear their voice. As an artist, sometimes we understand the limitations of our medium. And so having this kind of text that gives you more context of their work and their mindset really adds to the conversation and dialogue. And you may not agree with what they're saying, but really, in all honesty, it's just their authentic selves and their authentic truths.
Wendy Earle, as curator of this exhibit, and we've been talking with two of the artists there. There are 12. It seems to me you've got a lot of goals here. I mean, number one is to talk about the various and allow us to enter into a space where we can consider the many themes that are reflected here. And also this larger theme of, look, this is what contemporary art, or at least a fraction of what contemporary art looks like in North Carolina.
Yeah, I think Sika always has a lot of goals with many of their exhibitions. And so that's really important for us as a space. We're a very large space sort of set outside of a downtown area. We're in this residential area, so we can really sprawl out. And one of our goals of many is to give people a truly experiential setting for a lot of different things. You can come and you can fish in our pond. You can look at some of the historic parts of our mansion. And then you can really dig into contemporary art in a way that you can't in a lot of other spaces, because we are so big and have so many opportunities for different artists. That's always been something that's been really important for us. And then I think there's a lot of educational goals here as well. Since I just started, really, Dr. Debbie Randolph, our curator of education, took over this show and did some great things with it before I was able to come on. And so it is a very educational show for many of the people coming in. So we have a lot of school groups, we have a lot of adults, and they're able to learn a lot from this show in particular. One of the things we love to say, especially for some of the younger kids who come in, we have like little pre-K kids, is, you know, we talk to them about material because there's so many different media present. So, you know, you can talk to them about photography, about textiles, about printmaking. We really like to put them in front of Liz's work and talk to them about how you can cut out things, and that can be a work of art. And we like to say that, oh, she went through at least 500 X-Acto knives to cut out this, and that's
more than that.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder what it's like to be in this con. Let me ask the artists here, and I'll start with you, India, what it's like to see your work in this larger context of sort of this is contemporary art, in addition to what it is in particular you're doing. What's it like for you to see your art in that context?
You know, I'm from Winston-Salem. I could throw a rock at my mama's house from where I'm standing right now. So being able to be in Winston-Salem and be at Sika amongst these amazing artists is invaluable. Being in that space and really being amongst your community in many ways. I think we come from all areas, but being in North Carolina, I think every state has their own voice. And this exhibition is showing just a portion of that voice of North Carolina and some of the issues that the artists are really addressing that are actual global issues that are not just North Carolina issues, but actually span across the United States. So it's just wonderful to be in conversation with these individuals and to add to that collective voice that we have.
And Elizabeth, you said you were from Massachusetts, so you're new to the state. I wonder how that is for you.
Yes, I was actually told that I was in the 12 by 12 show only a few months after moving down here. Just through a series of fortuitous events, I was exhibiting in a gallery in Raleigh in November. I moved here in August and then was invited to be in the show only a couple months later. So it was a huge gift for me to be included in 12 by 12, because suddenly I had this community that was coming to Winston-Salem, where I just recently moved, and all these really exciting artists that were really brilliant thinkers. And, you know, I was sort of dealing with feeling like I left this community from Boston, and then, you know, to have it built so quickly after moving to Winston through this show and the Salon series, and being able to see other artists speak, I think that was actually the most exciting thing about being included in the show. It's obviously a huge honor, and it was so amazing to just be welcomed with open arms into the North Carolina art scene right when I got here.
I want to thank all of you for being on the program. Elizabeth Alexander, Endy Abiel, and Wendy Earle. Wendy is the curator of contemporary art at Sika. Endy Abiel is the director of the Diggs Gallery at Winston-Salem State University, also an associate professor of art there. Her work is part of the 12 by 12 exhibition. Elizabeth Alexander is an assistant professor at the University of North Carolina School of the Arts. And you can see 12 by 12, 12 artists from the 12th state at Sika until April 22nd. We've got information at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, we talk about a new documentary, The Jazz Ambassadors, The Untold Story of America's Coolest Weapon in the Cold War, How Jazz Became a Weapon of Diplomacy. Stay tuned.